All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle with Ronan Hirschberg. That's your headliner. Going to be a fun one. But, you know, as I'm recording this, we've got shows on Tuesday and Wednesday, too. All right, let's give you the whole rundown, because as April ends, May starts, and some great shows coming up. So Nasser Al-Reyes is joining us for two nights, but he is sold out as you're hearing this on the Wednesday. If you're interested, you could always call and find out if there's any way to get in for his shows. But that's our Tuesday, Wednesday this week, Nasser Al-Reyes. And then as we go into Thursday, like I just mentioned, Ronan Hirschberg joins us Thursday at 7:30. That's May the 1st, Friday, May 2nd at 7:15 and 9:45 p.m. And then Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:30. And we are doing buy one, get one for Ronan's shows this weekend. And go click through on comedycastle.com. You'll see that option on there to get the tickets. Darius Walker and Johanna Mendranda will be opening those shows. All right. Good stuff. Love Ronan. He's great. He's one of my favorite dudes. I was really happy to talk to him. But we just had Ian Bagg. Let's go into a little bit what happened last week. Ian Bagg came, did four phenomenal shows, super fun. And, you know, the crowds really come out for him. They know him. They love him. He's really worth the social media thing. John Wynn is the guy that does the video. He was the feature act last weekend. And he's recording with all these multiple cameras and microphones. And was talking to John about, you know, I said, well, we had some great crowds. And he says, I think the Late Show Friday is going to be a special. That's what he thinks. He thinks so. If you were at the Late Show Friday last week with Ian Bagg, that could very well be a special on YouTube. That's the plan. He's according to John, based upon how he felt about that show and that audience. It was just some really great audience reactions in there. It's hard to do. I don't recommend comedians do crowd work like Ian Bagg does, but it was great. It was terrific. He's the best at it. So there you go. But let's tell you a little bit about Ronan Hirschberg. I believe it is his first time on this show. He is no stranger to the Comedy Castle, as you'll hear in this interview. He'll tell you about why coming to the Comedy Castle really set into motion a series of events that got him where he is today. He is a regular at the Comedy Cellar in New York City. He has multiple hour-long specials on YouTube that you can watch. He is working on his new one that he is recording in just a couple of weeks. So when you see the Comedy Castle this weekend, you're going to be getting Ronan's new hour, and that will be a special as well in a little bit. I think he's not recording in here. He's recording it somewhere else. But you'll see it before it comes out. All right. We'll also talk about his influences as a comedy, the movies he liked. He has a movie podcast called Your Favorite Movie Sucks. We'll try to link to that on comedycastle.com. And we'll talk about what happened when he appeared on the Joe Rogan Experience. That's a big accomplishment for a lot of comics, the Joe Rogan Experience. So I asked him about it. He had a joke about Joe, and then he went on the show. So it's the whole thing. But this is a fun talk. Ronan's one of my favorite guys. I don't know if I see a little bit in him, in me, in sort of the comedy that I like to do. I think he does that. He does it better than I do, but he does a really, really great, you know, it's observational comedy, but it's insightful. It's witty. I also like the short movie he made. You'll hear that in the interview, that one. And just a great dude, having a lot of success. And again, he's sort of putting himself down, saying, you know, I want to sell more tickets, blah, blah, all that stuff. Hey, listen, everybody wants that, you know, the comic, the guys on the road want to be regulars at the Comedy Cellar. Then you become a regular at the Comedy Cellar and you want to be a theater act, and you got to make that jump. And we've seen that with guys like Sam Morrell, Mark Norman. You'll hear them mentioned in the interview as well. It's a thing you got to go through, and Ronan is right there. He's that guy. Nate Bargatze, Comedy Castle headliner. How many years in a row? 7, 8 years before he broke into a superstar, maybe the biggest comic in the country. It's going to happen for Ronan. I believe it will. because he's just that good. And it was a pleasure to talk to this guy. He brings up Gathering the Juggalos. I'm sorry. I don't want to bring that up every show. Ian did last week, and I apologize. Anyway, here's Run On, everybody. I'll be with you after. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, we have our weekend headliner, Run On Hirschberg. Run On, how you doing this great week for you, Comedy Castle week?
Good to be here. Good to be in the ether with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We gotta sell some tickets. you just told me. I was like, how are the tickets doing? You're like, well, they're 2-for-1 right now, so that might not be a good sign. I'm like, yeah, usually it's not doing great when you're giving away tickets.
Listen, we are in Michigan, and you grew up where it was cold, right? And then New York's cold, right?
Yeah.
When it gets nice out, the tickets get harder and harder to move. So,
I would feel better if I didn't have low tickets in the winter a lot.
It got real nice this week in Detroit, but anyway.
I know, it is tough. It is tough when you're doing spring shows. It's like, beautiful out, and some of these clubs I go to, they start freaking early too. But anyway, forget your beautiful, forget anyone listening, forget your very precious couple of weeks of really beautiful weather, and sacrifice that to be inside in the darkness.
You come out, it'll be dark at those that 9:30 Saturday show. It'd be a good time to come in, and you didn't have to get up the next day for anything. So, unless you're going to church, but hey, what am I? I'd be making assumptions about your audience if I said.
Right.
They're not going to church.
No, they're not. They're heathen. Jews.
But it's great to talk to you because I met you so many years ago. And I've watched you now, really blow up. And I just, when I was doing research for this, I'm just like, well, look at all the things that Renan has done in his career so far. And Joe Rogan, I'm reading what website was interviewing you? Was it Deadline? I'm like, that's great stuff.
Yeah, but it is really, it's really funny to go from like, yeah, we can't sell tickets. Anyway, blown up.
you have
fame.
But listen, success has it comes in many forms. Artistically, you are, you honestly, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, you are up there with the best names working in comedy today.
Oh,
you are spoken in there. You are friends with these people. You appear on their podcast. They appear on yours. And you're in the conversation. You're in the group now. You've made it based on that. You've made it to a certain threshold, which almost nobody ever does that tries comedy. That's amazing.
That means a lot. As a narcissist, I've always my main goal is to be in the conversation. So that it is fun. Comedy is like a very long ride. It's nice to it's cool. I do have like a little bit of a draw now, and it's cool it's cool to like go to shows and have like actual fans in the audience.
Sure,
So I'm not like, so when I go up on stage, I'm not immediately, for years, no one in the audience knew me. So, it's always just like a first date, The first dates are never good, you want to at least be like, a couple dates in so you can say some crazy shit.
That's what comes with success, is that freedom to kind of not be judged by people who, came because it's somebody's birthday party or something. They're there to see you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe this isn't the weekend for that, but again.
Nah, people come. I believe it.
No, I know.
Jews in Michigan, right?
Oh, there's not. There's a lot of Jews. Hey, listen, is there any bigger Jew in comedy than Mark Ridley?
All right,
don't let the Irish name fool you. That guy is.
I haven't seen him in like 25 years. He's always in Florida every time.
I don't think you'll see him this weekend either. Yeah,
I met him. I think I saw him one time. My entire life.
Oh, you say? Well, whatever.
Maybe twice.
Because I really remember you, and you, and I want to ask you about, well, let's just go to this. What was your first time coming to the Comedy Castle? Do you remember that? Well, how did that work?
The first time coming there was one of the most important things in my career, actually, I think. I mean, the first time I've gone there, I was living in Louisville, and I actually was going to go on a dump. He offered me a gig,
okay,
to feature for David Tell originally.
Oh, there you go.
And I was so excited. And then that fell through, and I was like a little upset. But then he does this other comedian, Cassie Madigan.
Yeah.
Is going, and you want to feature for her. And I feature for her there. Mm-hmm. And it was such an important thing in my career because we ended up hitting it off.
Yeah.
And she took me on the road after that. Mm-hmm. And I started opening for her in theaters, and she was the first person I ever opened for.
Yeah.
And not only was she an amazing person to work with and an amazing comic, I actually finally, from her opening for her, I actually finally like saved up enough money to basically move to New York.
That's amazing.
And start my career. Wow. So that was actually the first time I worked there was actually like, yeah. And it apparently was, she was working there and they gave her a couple videos.
Oh yeah. That's how that works.
Choose from.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm well aware.
And she liked me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a, I've told
this story before. Yeah. Cause I mean, you've literally answered my next two questions because I really associated you with Kathleen Madigan for so much of your career because she just wanted you at all these. Every time she came, she wanted you. And then I'd hear, you were Renan's opening on these other shows. And that was really great. But
yeah,
the thing with Kathleen, though, I'm going to tell this. I've told this on the show before, but I don't know if you know this. You know, Kathleen likes you when she actually lets you in the green room. Did you know that that's a thing?
I didn't know that
because you were always in the green room. But if Kathleen did not like you and you were opening, she was never mean to anyone. You did not go in the green room. It was off limits. You were back in the hallway. You could not go in.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know anything about this selective process. Yeah. I actually wasn't familiar with her work at the time. I became obviously more familiar. But she
started to blow up too, right? I mean, she was known here, but she became more famous nationally, I think, since you started working with her too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah. I mean, you're so concerned with your own. But yeah, she was awesome. I mean, I feel spoiled working that I got to work with her because so many people in comedy are insane. And she isn't. It made me think other people, there'd be other normal people.
Right.
And it turns out it's just her. that kind of spoiled me a little. Yeah. But she's great. We talk every once in a while. I always love talking to her.
That move to New York, man, for every comic, that's a big thing. That's such a big move. And how'd that go for you? What was your, did you have stuff lined up when you got out there? Did you have people you knew or contacts you could get a hold of?
I think by going on the road, I mean, by staying in Louisville, I had met a lot of comics. Who came down to Louisville. So I was friends with some comics who definitely helped to know them when I moved there,
Right.
People like Sam Morril helped me out a lot. Mark Norman, people I kind of knew from coming, who come to Louisville, I think sometimes obviously going to New York early really helps, but also if you go up to New York early, you're kind of like, you don't always get to see other more established comics. Yeah. So I got to create relationships with more established comics by just being, a road comic for a while.
And you think by going there at a time when you had all of this experience on the road and you could, do a longer set, do you think that helped you too, rather than saying, I did comedy for a year, let's go to New York?
Yes. 100%. I think it's a weird thing with New York with comedy is that in New York, the open mics, you're only doing like 2 minutes or something crazy, yeah, or 3 minutes. But in other places, you can do much longer time. And I definitely, I think, everyone has a different, everyone learns differently and you learn different muscles. There's a muscle for being on the road and there's a muscle for being in New York or LA. Yeah. And you eventually have to work out both muscles. Mm. I worked out the road muscle first, which I don't know if it's better, but it eventually evolved. I learned how to make rednecks laugh early. You know what I mean? And you learn that first. Yeah. And then I go to New York and learn how to be like, all right, this joke might make rednecks laugh, but yeah, it might be a little, I don't know if I was ever hacky, but right, it might be like other people could do the joke kind of, right, you know what I mean?
Stuff plays different. And that was my experience going on the road was, and even like, I'm just comparing Detroit crowds, Comedy Castle crowds, maybe a little bit of like Ann Arbor, you know, which is a little bit, highfalutin folks in Ann Arbor. I mean, I would go 2 hours outside of Detroit and it'd be like, we don't even get these jokes. What are you even talking about? Like, what is this internet you speak of, sir? We've never heard of it. And I mean, granted, this is 20 years ago, but it was like, man, that is why I do got to come up with the cop pulled me over on the way to the show. And, you know,
exactly.
I was like, maybe I should just, you know, men and women are different. Let's get into that. But it was like, I was never good at that.
Yeah. You know? The rule that, it's okay to be hacky in the first couple of minutes.
That's not bad.
If no one knows who you are, yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's different muscles, but yeah, I definitely learned the road muscle first, right. You know? Yeah. I've gone to Mark Ruby. I feel like I kept on, I think I've headlined there a couple.
Yeah, actually, a couple times. I was out of town the last time you were there. I know, but,
I love the club. It's a fun club.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to come back. It's been a while, you know?
Right.
How's it going there?
It's going well. We're rocking, man. I mean, it's amazing. You know, as comedy has blown up, as people now can sort of, like, people can sort of, you know, like, be big enough to play the club that have no following in a mainstream sense. It's really weird that, you know, you can bring in a guy that's, you know, so we'll have shows with, you know, just this podcast is live and we'll fill the place.
That's awesome.
What is this about? And like, we had a guy last week. He's a nice enough guy. He didn't really fill the place, but still he I'm sure he made money. He had a true crime podcast, and he also had a podcast about the Golden Girls. People showed up. They drove in for hours away to see this guy. And it's like, that wouldn't have been possible 10, 15 years ago, I don't think. And so, you know, the Comedy Castle is like, we really adapted to that, having those sort of acts in there now.
Anytime you tell me it's like a podcast or any niche idea, nowadays I'm like, oh, that person is probably huge. Anything where it's like,
right.
He's a podcast, he does the first season of Brady Bunch, I'm like, oh, he must be a billionaire. Yeah,
that's basically a good point. I know.
Niche podcast is huge.
Because, you know, you probably don't know this about me, but, you know, I started a podcast in 2005. And me and my
The Junglers?
No, it wasn't. But you remember that about me? Okay,
of course.
Ian Bagg. Ian Bagg found that out last week and just drilled me on it all weekend. But
how could I forget? Yeah.
But I would talk about that. But I would also. But it was also. It was just me and my buddy Corey, another comic, just talking about, you know, trying to do like morning radio, and then we sort of realized at a point where like, that's not necessarily going to hit. If we had just picked one thing like Star Wars, which we would talk about from time to time, we could have blown up.
Yeah. I know. You gotta. Yeah, the more specific,
the
better chance it is. I know. And it, like, the more specific, the bigger you are. You know. Yeah. He talks about, you know, podcasts about, you know, just the first episode of every X-Files season. It's just like billionaires. You know. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about your podcast, because I was watching some of that today. Your favorite movie sucks.
Yeah, it's probably not specific enough. It's just favorite
people
movies.
People love them. It's about movies. That's good.
Yeah, it's true. It's something. I watch people's comedian favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I tell them if they suck and why, but also, but it's a little false advertising because if I love a movie, I'm not going to pretend to hate it.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Unfortunately, a lot of people bring on like great movies.
Yeah.
So I'm like, It's not as much of a hate fest at the time. Right. I'll suggest it should probably a little false advertising.
But you're a big movie fan, obviously, from watching that. So you can work with these people who pick the one thing you're passionate about, and you're able to roll with it. It's a really cool system there.
Yeah, I'm a big movie fan. I'm just not that big of a life fan. So movie fandom is.
What was the first movie you remember seeing as a kid? You remember going? I mean, even
Jaws and Wizard of Oz.
Jaws, okay, yeah. Biggest.
I mean, Jaws I saw when I was five. Like, every day. I was obsessed with it, but also terrified.
Yes.
I think it's led to a lot of anxiety.
Right.
But I watched it every day when I was 5 years old. And Wizard of Oz. Those were the two biggest. Jaws and Wizard of Oz were the two big movies. And it's kind of funny. I think I was blessed with a lot of people had movies they loved as a kid that they watch. Man, you're like, this movie sucks. And then you feel all sad, you know? Yeah. But I had the good fortune of, at five, being obsessed with two movies that are still the two greatest movies.
Right.
You know?
Did
my movie taste at five was impeccable.
Did your parents have good taste? Did they sit you in front of good movies? Like, did they not want to watch garbage or...
I mean, they liked movies. They weren't like huge film buffs. I never got like, some like intense film... education from them. But yeah, it's bad general. Sorry, I'm outside.
My dad
took me to see Crying Game when I was like 8 years old. I remember that.
Okay. That's intense. Yeah. That's something else. Did you understand what was happening in Crying Game?
No. Then you're really bored because there's like that big twist in the middle.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand the twist. So the movie is just like, for me, it's just a movie without a twist. I'm just kind of bored. I did not understand that. Like, I think I understood she had a dick, but I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand what the deal was. I was definitely confused. Yeah.
There's still. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but they made a movie, a big movie last year that had that twist too. But anyway.
Wait, what was the movie last year?
Well, I don't want to ruin it for anyone. It was nominated for Best Picture last year, and it basically
Emilia Perez.
I don't know. Actually, I never saw that one, but there's another.
What
one.
Are you talking about? What
Conclave. Movie? I've ruined Conclave.
Oh right.
Yeah,
right.
Come on, well, run on.
You know that happened. It's not a woman with a dick, but yeah.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's kind of that. Anyway,
it's a little like that.
Here's one of my great memories that must have just really stuck with me and sort of drove me. A little bit into what I ended up doing was watching on TV. My dad watched Woody Allen's Take the Money and Run one afternoon when I was 8 or 9 years old. And when he made that gun out of soap and he went out and it was raining, dude, I thought that was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life.
He was named Jonathan. We named him Jonathan after his mother. There's so many great jokes in that.
I have a gub. It says gub. Gun. It clearly says.
Oh yeah, that movie's amazing. Yeah. I love that movie.
I mean, just for that sort of comedy that really hit me, and I was like, yeah, I want to do jokes like that. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I fell in love with Woody Allen too. Yeah. I actually fell in love with him in high school from his prose. Mm-hmm. I remember I read one of his stories, and
I read those Without Feathers and those. Yeah.
I read one of them. I think it was like one line that sent me off on my journey to new comedy. It's like a line like, was talking about some professor who's like so quick to like get ready in the morning, he forgets to take his hanger out of his sports jacket when he puts it on. I don't know. There's something like, I don't know why. It was something about the way it was phrased, but I fell in love with his ability, his misdirects.
Yeah.
Take the Money Run's great. Love and Death, I think.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Such a masterpiece. You know what I mean? You are the wisest person in the area when she goes up to that guy in Love and Death. Yeah. And she sits down, he has like a big beard, and she sits down and goes, you are the wisest person in this area. And he just goes, get off my beard. The beard's so long, she's had her feet on it. That was amazing.
Yeah. Woody Allen would do the thing where that, like, especially the early movies, where they were about smart subjects and people doing dumb shit. It was really pretty.
Yeah. It was very Naked Gunny. I mean, Naked Gun wasn't. Very influenced by my
sure.
And I don't know if people like realize that as much. But yeah,
those bananas, that early stuff is so funny. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do a couple things. Yeah. I gotta let you go because I know you got a thing you gotta go to. Joe Rogan, you do a bit in your comedy act about you hate Joe Rogan, you'll never be on his show. And now, of course, you were on his show. Tell us how that went down. Explain that.
I was worried he'd have seen that clip, but he had not. So, or he didn't bring it up. So it never got brought up, but I was definitely wondering if he was going to see that. Yeah.
But you went on that show, which is, I think, nowadays, the biggest podcast, right? So that's an accomplishment for a comic. But did that help? Do people come to see you now because they're fans of Rogan?
Some people. I think some people. I mean, to be fair, I went on the show and told him I thought conspiracy theories are bullshit. So not going to get a lot of fans. Kind of like going off Fox News and just saying you love Kamala. It's not going to bring in a lot of fans. I think some people,
they didn't want to be challenged, the Rogan fans.
Yeah, I think some, I think I have some fans from it. It's funny. I have that joke where I'm like, I hate Rogan. The only way I'd be on it, the only way I'd ever go on it is if he asked me. And then people like, I went on and people are like, what a hypocrite. I'm like, I'm not a hypocrite. I literally said that reason.
And he invited you on. So there you go.
He invited me on. Yeah.
Maybe that's willing it. Well, I don't know what people say, manifesting it, or there's some sort of, right?
Yeah. He invited me on and secret. I was so liberal. I was so annoyingly liberal that he endorsed Trump right after. I may have destroyed the world.
The Jew from Kentucky blew his mind and he said, that's it. Ron, and let's wrap it up here, man. Really fun talking to you. It's going
to
be so good this weekend.
You.
Yeah, we're going to have a great weekend. We got 5 shows for people. Get out there. Come see. I mean, we just named the names that this guy's worked with and that no one endorsed this man. So please, if you're new.
Yeah, please come on out. I got an hour. I'm going to be taping it in a couple of weeks. So it's in a good place. So come on out we have a great time.
Right. And I watched
your
movie too. We don't have time to talk about it, but you will never be president was funny. I enjoyed that.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate there it. You go.
Got
thanks
that
so much.
Too. Yeah. All right, man. We'll see you this weekend.
I'll see you this week. Is Bill going to be there too?
Bill will be there. I'll be there. The whole gang.
Great.
You have a great
awesome.
Time.
I'm excited.
Hey, thanks
a lot,
talking
Joel.
To
I really appreciate
all right,
it.
Buddy.
Talk to you soon, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So, Ronan, thank you for talking. He had to go. He was doing, it was podcast day for him. And, he squeezed us in there for 20 minutes. So, thanks, Ronan. It was a great talk. Enjoyed, we had a lot of similar, like I said, similar interests, similar upbringings, and I just think he's so darn funny. I was watching his specials on YouTube. But if you want to see the new stuff, this weekend is the time. It is buy one, get one free. If you go on comedycastle.com for those 5 shows this weekend, you'll have a great time. Also going to mention here, my next advanced comedy class is starting a week from Saturday. That's May the 10th. So if you've done a little bit of comedy and you want to take it to the next level or, you're working on stuff, maybe you did the beginner comedy class, you want to get better, you want to take your comedy next level, join me at the advanced comedy class every Saturday for 6 weeks. That starts on May 10th. My current group, it's their showcase on the 6th of May. So if you want to come out to that, that's a week from tonight, pretty much, as I'm talking to you. So that's going to be a big one, too, for them and for me. It's always great to see my students do well. And Ronan is going to make you laugh this weekend. I think you're going to have a great, great time with Ronan Hirschberg this weekend. I know I'm excited to see him and work those shows too. I'll be at the door. Say hi to me. Hey, I listen to the podcast, Joel. That feels nice when I'm doing that. Feels nice. I don't get a lot of that. I get a little bit of that. You get more of that. That'd be nice. Remember to visit comedycastle.com for all your tickets. Comedy Castle Podcast is the address for this show. We got the full archive of shows going all the way back. I don't know how many years now. 6 years? 7 years? We had the pandemic where we didn't do shows, but you can hear all the old shows of Tom McCarthy, all of the shows I've done. Of course, social media, Facebook and Instagram, Comedy Castle Podcast, or Comedy Castle Pod, I believe, is the Instagram. You'll find us on there. Follow us there. That makes us feel nice. Makes it feel like we're doing something. Hey. All right. We'll see you this weekend, guys, for Ronan Hirschberg. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.